Well, a warm welcome to you who just tuned in. You're listening to the program called At Ease. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and this is a production of Good News Community Radio Station. This program is also made possible by the South African Military Christian Fellowship, and this is the 58th program. You're about to listen to our devotion by Chaplain Ben Smith, as he's going to read for us John 1, verse 17, and collaborate about law versus grace. Our first South African Navy band is called Ukutula, a Zulu word for to be quiet or to be still. Then Graham Wilson is going to read for us the Military Challenge newspaper, a testimony of Emerson Fittipaldi. And the theme of this testimony is Crash Helped to Bring Reassessment of Life. Then Captain Peter Lawrence will be talking about personal evangelism. And the same captain will also bring the South African Military Christian Fellowship news. Then we will play out with the last South African Navy song called Conquest of Paradise. I trust that you will be at ease and that you will allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you through this program. God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. I trust today finds you well. Our scripture reading is taken from John 1, verse 17, and it's about law versus grace, and just a few things that I want to say. First of all, perfection is the characteristic that would nullify the power of the law, and it is not to be found in you or me. The law can never be the driving force behind any relationship. Why? Because no human being has ever excelled to the point where you would never be in breach of the law. In fact, a relationship based on laws, rules, and regulation can progress only in one direction, and that is downwards. The law puts any relationship beyond redemption because of the inability of men to adhere to the law. However, the sustenance of a relationship lies in receiving forgiveness, and where grace abounds, forgiveness abounds. The antidote to the law is grace. And scripture says, grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful that you are a gracious and a kind and a loving God. Thank you that we can realize that we are being saved by grace through faith. As I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith, for that devotion concerning law versus grace. You know, I read in Psalm 19, and you can do yourself the favor, how David expressed his heart attitude concerning the law of God. And we don't talk here about this ceremonial law. We don't talk about that because Jesus was the fulfillment of that. We talk here about where he says the statutes of the law, and we talk about the moral law of God. David said the statutes, the precepts, the commandments. He refer all of that. Doesn't matter if you want to call it commandments, the law, the precepts, the statutes, all different terminologies that prescribe one thing, and that is the law of God. And he say it is God's law. And then he explained what it does to us. It does to him, how it converts, how it revives the soul, how there is a reward by keeping it, the law of God. Now, the Ten Commandments don't save us, don't give us eternal life. No, it helps us and protect us from ourselves and from others. And also to, through that, get to know God better from, you know, through the law. To say, what is God like? What does he prefer? What is his essence? Because this is what he say, I give you this. And if you can, by my spirit, comply to this. Because if you think just on the first one of it, there will be no other God. I am the great I am. I am above any other God that there might ever be. So, but it is not a matter of the letter, because Paul himself said the letter kills, but it is the spirit that makes alive. So it is a heart attitude as well, that we need the Spirit of God to help us to comply to the law. The letter is there to say this is what God requires, and the Spirit is there to help us to comply to that. So together with it, we will grow up and we will get to know God better. Not to be saved, because the law can't save, can't give eternal life. But through that, we can get to know God better. That relationship that the chaplain was talking about. I think that if there is no such thing as a choice, love always give a choice. Because love is not love if there's not a choice. And God hold it in front of us and say, I want you to choose. I want you to make the choice. And I will advise you to make the right choice and choose the right path when it comes to this choice. So, thank you, Chaplain Ben, that we can know as well, not the ceremonial law. Remember that, because Jesus was the fulfillment. We talk about here the moral law. No one of us are exempt from that. We have to, by the Spirit, by his enablement, comply to that. Let's listen now to our first Navy Band piece of music, Ukutula. That means to be still. I think of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Maybe your heart is full of turmoil. Maybe your heart, there's a lot of, you know, your head is spinning and there's so much that just bombarding you. Well, if you think of Psalm 46, verse 10, and you think about this song that say, keep quiet, be still, I am God. And allow him to quiet your mind, to quiet your heart, and let the peace of God that transcends all understanding just be the referee at this moment in your mind and in your heart. Let's listen to the song. Ukutula, 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 ulong saba wesono, haleluya, ikasila Jesu inenye. Ukutula, usikizwe. that's incredible. Really, if that doesn't bring you to quietness and really to relaxed, then I don't know what will, because it's just make you so feel, you know, knowing that God is in control. The perfect peace, perfect peace does prevail in our hearts. That lot that is going on in your life, that turmoil, that maybe it's a lot of complicated things that God will step in. You know, the Indian people have us who saying the bhaja, you know, bhaja. I hope I pronounce that word correctly. That it's just everything is tangled up, that God will straight it out for you. Well, we're going to listen now to our testimony narrated for us by Graham Wilson. And here the theme of this testimony is crash helped to bring reassessment of life. And this is the testimony of Emerson Fittipaldi. I hope I pronounced that surname correctly. Fittipaldi. Let's listen now to him.
In 1996, during an Indianapolis race, he had an accident at Michigan International Speedway at 320 kilometers an hour that broke his seventh vertebrae. If the fracture had spread 1 millimeter further, he would have been a quadriplegic. As he recovered in hospital, Alex Diaz Ribeiro, president of the Athletics in Action, visited Emerson, shared the good news of Jesus Christ with him, and led him into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I always believed in God, but it was he, Alex, who gave birth to my faith in Jesus Christ, Emerson told Isto E magazine in 2005. I think whoever does not believe in God or in Jesus has an empty life, but we need to be called by God to wake up. After my accident in 1996, I was in hospital, and Alex appeared with the Bible in my room. As a result, I really believed in God and became a genuine Christian. It changed my life for the past 6 years. Less than a year later, in September 1997, he had another accident while flying his microlight plane with his 7-year-old son Luca across the Orange Tree Farm estate in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Their plane lost power and plunged 300 feet to the ground. Luca was uninjured, but Emerson suffered serious back injuries. It led him to remark that God was trying to tell him to retire. Last year, I had a message from God. This time, it was an order. Jesus is so great that I have no words to describe him, but I know for a fact that he radically changed the history of our civilization. All that man achieved until today is summed up in the two eras, before Christ and after Christ. Jesus is number one. He is the most influential and important person that ever lived on this planet, and if we could only follow 20% of his teachings, this world would be a much better place to be. On the Jesus film, among 44 tributes to Jesus from world-famous people, Emerson said, "My tribute to Jesus would be that he has given us great strength. His message is a message of hope and forgiveness, and his life is a message of kindness and salvation. This positive message of hope has lifted up my family and hopefully made me a better person along the way. But I also know that when I stray, when I err, that Jesus believes in forgiveness." Emerson realizes that he has hurt many people during his life, having had two failed marriages from which he had 5 children. Of his first marriage, Emerson admits that, "Back in 1980, I was too involved in the problems of trying to make the team work, and I neglected my marriage and my personal life." He now attends Christian churches in Miami and Brazil with his third wife, Rosanna, who is also a Christian, and 4-year-old son, Emerson Jr. Despite all the acclaim and international press he has received, Emerson realizes that there's much more to life. "Life makes more sense with God," Emerson told Isto E, "and it's my duty to pass that on to people who surround me." Has there been an event in your life that has caused you to reassess your values and priorities? Perhaps not as dramatic as what Emerson Fittipaldi experienced, but life-changing nevertheless. If you haven't yet surrendered your will to God, don't wait on Him to get your attention through a cataclysmic event in your life. Rather, confess to Him your sin, ask for forgiveness, and Lord Holy Spirit's strength to help you live in submission to Him.
Thank you, Graham Wilson, for that testimony. Maybe I can just say something before I continue and just a little bit collaborate on what he said. Yeah, sometimes, you know, I like what Graham say about this testimony. The first time when you have a crash, it was a message from God. And the second time, it was a command from God. It is as if he didn't get the message the first time, and then the second time, now God have to, you know, really bring him to the point of death before he listen. And my question many times is, why are we so stubborn? Maybe not stubborn deliberately, but that we don't pay attention to what God wants to say to us, you know? And why allow God to cause such a dramatic event to get our attention? Yeah, sometimes I don't understand. I think of my own life, that I actually allow God to wound me first before I listen. Yo, our people are stubborn, eh? The human heart is sometimes so stubborn, especially if you don't get it the first time. And then you go through hell, so to say, and then you realize the penny drops for you. You come to your mind. I think of the prodigal son. You know, the Bible say there in Luke 15:17, he came to his right mind. The one translation say, the other one say that, you know, he comes to his senses. You know, sometimes he's so nearly too late, and then regret. We have regret, and I think regret is a wonderful thing. Don't you agree? To that? Why I say a wonderful thing? Regret is a good thing. It's just it comes sometimes too late, you know, after I've done that or after something terrible happened to me. So, yeah, I can really say thank you for that, and it just reminds us that God has a purpose for our lives. If I listen to his life, so broken, so messed up, so a lot of things happened in his life. But God, come, and if I can come to that place and I submit to him and let him be the center of it all. Maybe easier said than done, because where do you start if everything is in such a turmoil? But if we can submit, like James say, just hand it over to him. Don't try to help him. Let God be God in our lives. I think, like he said, if we can just obey 20% of what God or what Jesus said and teach, the world will be a better place. We're going to listen now to our captain. I always, you know, when I talk about a captain, it's in my heart, you know, you have to strike, you know, if you were in the army, because the captain is talking and you speak in capital letters. Let's listen how he talk about and teach us how to do personal evangelism.
Good evening, At Ease listeners. These past 9 months or so, we've heard the two questions, these two spiritual questions regarding where you stand before Almighty God and the gift of eternal life. The first question being, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And the second question, suppose you were to die and appear before Almighty God, and he were to ask, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Two piercing questions that need an answer, and which prayerfully you can now answer, or you were able to answer. But now the question being, don't you want to ask people those questions that you know and want to know Where do they stand before Almighty God? Diagnostic questions to ascertain where they stand before God and perhaps help them to find salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, so perhaps you're in a foxhole, perhaps you're in a car or an aeroplane, and you have a few moments with someone. You might never see them again, but you felt led to share the good news with them. So how do you do this? Maybe it's also just with a neighbor. It's going to take over a few months. You can ask the two questions. And of course, one's got to earn the right. You can't just go in there guns blazing, so to say. It once happened at a Bible college where this outline was being taught. And they went out for practical training, got into a taxi, and the one student straight away said, "Suppose you were to die." And of course, the one person in the taxi got such a fright that he jumped out, slid open the door, and got out the first opportunity, worried that he was perhaps going to die. But of course, the question had been asked too quickly, and the right to ask the question had not been obtained. So over the next few months, we'll share how to share the two questions in the gospel. But we'll start tonight then with developing a friendly relationship. So this is critical. You know, also walking the talk. You've got to set a good example. People must see in you the love of Christ. They must see in you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the first point would be a sincere interest in the person's life. Ask him questions like where he went to school, why he joined the military, or the job that he's in. It's taking a sincere interest, not just quickly, but taking some time to get to know him better. And sincere listening, not just what's the next question or what next in developing a friendly relationship, but sincerely listening to his answers. And perhaps he's telling you about his grandmother that died or the financial situation he's in. And these are things that you can help with later. So listen sincerely that he can see that you take an interest in him. And sincere caring that there's follow-up and that you really, he heard what he had to say and you want to care and be there for him. And of course, this all goes about the Holy Spirit helping you, that you're dependent on the Holy Spirit helping you through this time. And so you'd be perhaps silently praying, others praying for you, knowing that you love to share the gospel, and you get prayer partners. But the first point then is developing a friendly relationship. And so I'd like to leave that with you, that before you ask the two questions, that you develop this friendly relationship with people. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes that it takes, or it might be over a few months, but you might only have that moment in life, that opportunity that is there and then gone, that you meet this person. And then you've sown seeds in his heart, the two questions, and the Holy Spirit, of course, dependent that he will continue to speak to this person's heart afterwards. So thank you. So take that to heart, developing this friendly relationship that you can earn the right then to ask the two questions that you'll come to in a few weeks' time. Now, thank you. Every blessing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence. We take it to heart. You know, I can't emphasize it enough to earn the right to ask. People don't really care how much we know. Because, you know, we know so much, and sometimes we want to bombard them with, you know, we want to bombard them with what we know. We want to bash them with a Bible verse or with the whole of the Bible, you know. They don't care how much you know. You know, when will they care how much you know is when they see how much we care. When they see how much we care, then they want to know how much do we know. Because it is not in the knowing. Jesus cared for people. He see where he can meet that need. People has been drawn by the need, and then when the need is met, then they can come and ask, but I also want to know what you know. I was in Mozambique here in the late 90s, and just after the war in Maputo, those years Lorenzo Marx. And we was at a place called Namahasha in the Lumbombo Mountains. And we do evangelism there and mission work. And my interpreter took me to this place, and he showed me an abandoned place where the refugees was take shelter, and they was looking after them. And after the war, many people go back to where they come from. Many children was during the war born there. And many of those children has been left behind, and they became street children. Now, this interpreter say, preach to them, preach to them, telling about, you know, the love of God and how much God loved them. And I said to this interpreter of mine, my brother, can I, from their point of view, can I ask you, where's the love of God? What do you see? I don't see, practically speaking, humanly speaking, any of the love of God. I see holes, bullet holes, and. And I see heartache. But if you can give me food, we can have food and blankets and clothes to feed them, to clothe them, to care for them, then they will want to know, why do you love us? Why do you do this? Because we want to show God's love in a practical way. It's not how much you know. It's how much you care. And that owned the right to ask. Once that right has been earned, then you can ask. I saw it many times. Thank you, Captain Peter. The same captain is going to read to us now the news. Thank you, Captain Peter.
Attention!
Good day. The news read by Peter Lawrence. We continue to pray for peace and an end to the terrible war in Ukraine, as well as for peace in conflicts in other areas of the world. Let us continue to pray that the soldiers fighting on both sides in Ukraine turn to and find comfort, rest, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their safety and the gift of eternal life in heaven. We pray that they will have the peace that passes all understanding through Christ Jesus the Lord, despite the terrors of war. Please pray for the SAMCF as we make changes to our constitution and operating principles in line with the Word of God and His guidance. We'll meet again on the 12th of November here in Cape Town to further pray and plan for these matters. The Association of Military Christian Fellowships prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant that we, who know the joy of being all one in Christ Jesus, may be filled with your love and pass it on to others through the power of the Holy Spirit until his coming again. Amen. Please pray for the SNDF and other Southern African troops presently deployed to northern Mozambique to conduct peacekeeping operations. Pray also for the naval and air support, as well as the medical staff all serving in the different areas of operation. The Regional Association of Military Christian Fellowships Interaction, called the Madagascar Mountaintop Interaction, MMTR, which took place in Madagascar, has ended. We give praise and thanks for our South African Military Christian Fellowship delegates who were able to attend the interaction and who have arrived safely back in South Africa. En route, they were kindly hosted by the Kenyan chaplaincy during their turnovernight stopover in Nairobi. A big thank you to all that helped sponsor and support their attendance. We please value our listeners' prayers for these news items, and especially for Riri and Zinzi returning to their Navy duties after their experience in Madagascar. We thank God for our SNDF chaplains. Please join us praying for their ministry and service in the South African National Defence Force. Please consider how you, the listener, might become more involved supporting the ministry of the South African Military Christian Fellowship in the SANDF. This might be through prayer, financially, or other means. Let us know and we will further interact and contact you. Your support will be very much appreciated. The SMCF can be contacted as follows: by cell phone and WhatsApp on 062-028-7546. 062-028-7546. Or email samcf3@gmail.com. Or look up our website, www.samcf.co.za. www.samcf.co.za. Our bank account details for donations is also available on request. We thank you, the listener.
Thank you, Captain Peter, for the news, and we are so glad that Riri is back, and maybe the Lord's willing, next week we can hear her voice again on radio. Folks, we came to the last part of our program. I want to salute all our content providers. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you really for your commitment to make it work for us. And I know, besides all of your hectic schedules, to make time for us for this program on a Tuesday evening. May God bless you, each and everyone, even for those who work behind the scenes. You are not forgotten. God saw what you're doing and He will reward you. Thank you for our listeners. May God bless you and keep you in. As we're signing out, may God bless you and may you be at ease wherever you are until next Tuesday evening, 1800 hours, the same time, the same place. Be at ease.
Thank you.